Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 25, The Descriptions of the Characteristics of King Puranjana, Part 3, Verses 10 through 25, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Every living entity is Puranjana. The word Puram means within this body or within this form. And the word Jana means living entity. Thus, every one of us is Puranjana. Every living entity is supposed to be the king of one's body because the living entity is given full freedom to use his or her body just as one likes. One usually engages the body for sense gratification because one who is in the bodily conception of life feels that the ultimate goal of life is to serve the senses. One who has no inner knowledge, who does not know that one is actually the spirit soul living within the body, who is simply enamored by the dictation of the senses, is called a materialist. A materialistic person interested in sense gratification can be called a Puranjana. And because such a materialistic person utilizes the senses according to his or her whims, one may also be called a king. Just as an irresponsible king takes the royal position to be his own personal property and misuses the treasury for his sense gratification. The word brihachrava is also significant. The word shravaha means fame. The living entity is famous from ancient times, for as stated by Krishna in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, na jayate mriyate va, the living entity is never born and never dies. Because the living entity is eternal, his or her activities are eternal, although they are performed in different types of bodies. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul does not die, even after the annihilation of the body. Thus, the living entity transmigrates from one body to another and performs various activities. Nonetheless, all the Puranjanas or living entities have a friend whom one does not know. Materialistic persons do not understand that God is present as the Supersoul, who is situated within the heart of every living entity. Although the Paramatma sits beside the Jiva-atma as friend, the Jiva-atma or living entity does not know it. Consequently, he or she is described as avigyata-sakha, meaning one who has an unknown friend. The word avigyata chestata is also significant because the living entity works hard under the direction of the Paramatma and is carried away by the laws of nature. Nonetheless, one thinks him or herself independent of God and independent of the stringent laws of material nature. Although Puranjana, the Jiva-atma, changes bodies, the soul is not affected by the material conditions. Puranjana, the Jiva-atma, is placed under the material conditions and acts according to the directions of one's friend, the Supersoul. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, by Krishna,
Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sanivishto Matak Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Krishna is seated in everyone's heart, and from Krishna come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Thus God, as Paramatma, is situated in everyone's heart, giving directions to the living entity to act in whatever way the living entity desires. In this life and in one's previous lives, the living entity does not know that Krishna, God, is giving one a chance to fulfill all kinds of desires. No one can fulfill any desire without the sanction of Lord Krishna. All the facilities given by God, Krishna, are unknown to the conditioned soul. The travelings of Puranjana are similar to the travelings of the modern hippies. Generally, hippies are sons of great fathers and great families. It is not that they are always poor, but some way or another, they abandon the shelter of their rich fathers and travel all over the world.
As stated here in this section, the living entity wants to become Prabhu. The word Prabhu means master, but actually the living entity is not master. Puranjana, the Jiva Atma, is the eternal servant of God. And when the living entity abandons the shelter of God or Krishna and tries to become Prabhu independently, then Puranjana, the Jiva Atma, travels all over the creation.
There are 8,400,000 species of life and millions and millions and trillions of planets within the creation. The living entity wanders throughout these various types of bodies and throughout different planets, and thus the Jiva Atma is like King Puranjana, who traveled all over the world looking for a suitable place to live. It is said in this section, Na Anurupam, the king could never find a place suitable for his purposes. This is because in any form of life, and on any planet in this material world, a living entity cannot be happy, because everything in the material world is unsuitable for the spirit soul. As stated in this section, the living entity independently wants to become Prabhu, but as soon as he or she gives up this idea and instead becomes servant of God or Krishna, then one's happiness immediately begins. The words Vimana Iva are very significant. In this material world, even the great King of Heaven is also full of anxiety. Now, if even Lord Brahma is full of anxiety, what of these ordinary living entities who are working within this planet? The great Vaishnava poet Srila Vidyapati has sung, Tatala Saikate Vari Bindu Sama Suta Mita Ramani Samaje. Material sense gratification with society, friendship, and love is herein compared to a drop of water falling on a desert. A desert requires oceans of water to satisfy it. And if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as stated in Vedanta Sutra, is Anandamayo Vyasat, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Puranjana, the living entity, wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets frustration in his or her attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark, covered by matter, cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance within material life.
A deer may become absorbed in the musical sounds vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that the deer loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when the fish eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even the elephant, who is so strong, is captured and loses its independence while satisfying its genitals with a female elephant.
In each and every species of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses. But he or she cannot enjoy all the senses at one time. In the human form of life, one gets an opportunity to enjoy all one's senses pervertedly. But the result is that one becomes so harassed in one's attempted sense gratification that one ultimately becomes morose. As one tries to satisfy his or her senses more and more, one becomes more and more entangled.
The word lakshita lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Bharata Varsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of Vedic cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Varna Ashrama Dharma. A blind man can walk but not see, and a lame man cannot walk but can see. Andha Pangu Nyaya. The blind man may take the lame man over his shoulder, and as he walks, the lame man may give him directions. Thus combined, they may work, but individually, neither the blind man nor the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come, take advantage of their money, bluff them, and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this ISKCON movement. The body has been called the City of Nine Gates, and these nine gates include two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, a genital, and a rectum. And when the nine gates are clean and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy.
In India, these nine gates are kept clean by the villagers who rise early in the morning, bathe in the well or rivers, go to the temples to attend Mangala Arati, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then take prasad. In this way, one can take advantage of all the facilities of human life. And so, gradually we are introducing this system in different centers in our society in the Western countries. One who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life.
At the present moment, India may be compared to the lame man and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2,000 years, India has been subjugated by the rule of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to the dazzling glitter of material opulence. So the blind man of the Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. Then the lame man of India can walk with the help of the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancement of the Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of all human society.
The body is protected by walls of skin. The hairs on the body are compared to parts, and the highest parts of the body, like the nose and head, are compared to towers. The wrinkles and depressions on different parts of the body are compared to trenches or canals. The eyes are compared to windows, and the eyelids are compared to protective gates.
The three types of metal, gold, silver, and iron, represent the three modes of material nature. Gold represents the mode of goodness, silver represents the mode of passion, and iron represents the mode of ignorance. The body is also sometimes considered to be a bag containing three elements, three dhatu, mucus, bile, and air, kapha, pitta, and vayu.
In the city of the body, the heart is considered to be the capital, just as the capital of a state is especially gorgeously filled with various high buildings and lustrous palaces. The heart of the body is filled with various desires and plans for material enjoyment. Such plans are sometimes compared to valuable jewels such as sapphires, rubies, pearls, and emeralds. The heart becomes the center for all planning of material enjoyment.
The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living entity is within the heart, along with Paramatma. The heart is the center of all remembrance, forgetfulness, and deliberation.
In the body, the eyes, ears, and nose are different places of attraction for sense enjoyment, and the streets for going hither and thither may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yogic process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called Sushumna, the path of liberation.
The body is also a resting place, because when the living entity becomes fatigued, he or she takes rest within the body. The palms and the soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. Since the body is a great city, there must be various arrangements, such as lakes and gardens, for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which incite sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. Because the body has genitals, when the living entity attains the right age, be one man or woman, one becomes agitated by the sex impulse. As long as one remains a child, one is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman. Although the sense organs are present, unless the age is ripe, there is no sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse
are compared here to a garden or a nice solitary park. When one sees the opposite sex, naturally the sex impulse increases. It is said that if a man in a solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is to be considered brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, talking, coming into contact with, or even thinking of the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes sexually impelled. Consequently, the brahmachari or sannyasi is prohibited to associate with woman, especially in a secret place. The shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful young woman? The word Hima Nirjara is particularly significant. The waterfall represents a kind of liquid humor or rasa relationship. In the body, there are different types of humor, rasa, or mellow. The supreme mellow or relationship is called Adi Rasa, the sexual mellow. And when this Adi Rasa or sex desire comes in contact with the spring air moved by Cupid, it becomes agitated. In other words, all these are representations of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, and sparsha. The wind is sparsha or touch. The waterfall is rasa or taste. The spring air, kusumakara, is smell. All these varieties of enjoyment make life very pleasing, and thus we become captivated by material existence. A peaceful family with wife and children is compared to the peaceful atmosphere of the forest. Children are compared to non-violent animals. However, sometimes wives and children are called swajanakya dasyu, burglars in the name of kinsmen. A man earns his livelihood with hard labor, but the result is that he is plundered by his wife and children, exactly as a person in a forest is attacked by thieves and burglars who take his money. Nonetheless, in family life, the turmoil of wife and children appears to be like the cooing of the cuckoos in the garden of family life. Being invited by such an atmosphere, the person who is passing through such a blissful family life desires to have his family with him at all costs. The body has already been compared to a beautiful garden. During youth, the sex impulse is awakened, and the intelligence, according to one's imagination, is prone to contact the opposite sex. In youth, a man or woman is in search of the opposite sex by intelligence or imagination, if not directly. The intelligence influences the mind, and the mind controls the 10 senses. 5 of these senses gather knowledge, and 5 work directly. Each sense has many desires to be fulfilled. This is the position of the body and the owner of the body, Puranjana, who is within the body. The vital force of a living entity includes the five kinds of air working within the body, which are known as prana, apana, dhyana, samana, and udana. The vital force is compared to a serpent, because a serpent can live simply by drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as the pratihara, or the bodyguard. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of the vital force. The woman, who represents intelligence, was searching after a husband. This indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. A beautiful woman is useless unless protected by a proper husband. Intelligence must always be very fresh. Therefore, the word aprodham, very young, is used here. Material enjoyment means utilizing the intelligence for the sake of rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, and sparsha, or form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. The body of intelligence enjoys the objects of sense gratification that cover it, such as smell, vision, and hearing. The word sunasam, or beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste. For by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukapolam, or nice forehead, indicates a clear brain capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed there by the work of the intelligence. Thus, the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. In this section of the fourth canto, the joyfulness of the mind upon seeing a woman with raised hips and breast, dressed in an attractive sari and bedecked with ornaments, is expressed. The two breasts of the young woman represent attachment and envy. The two symptoms of raga and dvesha, attachment and envy, are described by Krishna in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. Indriyasyendriyasyarthe raga dvesha viyavasthitau tayor na vasham agach chet tau hi asya paripanthinau. Attraction and repulsion for sense objects are felt by embodied beings, but one should not fall under the control of senses and sense objects, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. These representatives of attachment and envy are very much unfavorable for advancement in spiritual life. Therefore, one should not be attracted by the breasts of young women. The great saint Shankara Acharya has described the breasts of women, especially young women, as nothing but a combination of muscles and blood. So one should not be attracted by the illusory energy of raised breasts with nipples, for they are agents of Maya meant to victimize the opposite sex. Because the breasts are equally attractive, they are described as samavritau. The sex impulse remains even in an old man's heart, even up to the point of death also.
to be rid of such agitation, one must be very much advanced in spiritual consciousness, like Yamuna Acharya, who said, Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde navanavarasa damani udyatam rantum asi tad avadhi bata nari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara sukshtu nishtivanancha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. When one is spiritually advanced, one can no longer be attracted by the lumps of flesh and blood, which are the breasts of young women. The word nirantarao is significant, because although the breasts are situated in different locations, the action is the same. So we should not make any distinction between attachment and envy, as described by Krishna in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Attachment and envy are both products of Raja Guna. Kama esha, krodha esha, Raja Guna Samudbhavaha. The word niguhantim, trying to cover, indicates that even if one is tainted by kama, lust, lobha, greed, krodha, anger, etc., they can be transfigured by Krishna consciousness. In other words, one can utilize kama or lust for serving Krishna. Being impelled by lust, an ordinary worker will work hard day and night. Similarly, a devotee can work hard day and night to satisfy Krishna, just as karmis are working hard to satisfy kama and krodha. A devotee should work in the same way to satisfy Krishna. Similarly, krodha, anger, can also be used in the service of Krishna when it is applied to the non-devotee demons. For example, Hanumanji applied his anger in this way. Hanuman was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and Hanuman utilized his anger to set fire to the kingdom of Ravana, a non-devotee demon. Thus, kama, lust, can be utilized to satisfy Krishna, and krodha, anger, can be utilized to punish the demons. When both are used for Krishna's service, they lose their material significance and become spiritually important. Every living entity is a hero in two ways. When one is a victim of the illusory energy, one works as a great hero in the material world, as a great leader, politician, businessman, industrialist, etc. And one's heroic activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. And one can also become a hero by being master of one's senses, a Goswami. Material activities are false heroic activities, whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is great heroism. However great a hero one may be in the material world, one can be immediately conquered by the lumps of flesh and blood known as the breasts of women. In the history of material activities, there are many examples, like the Roman hero Antony, who became captivated by the beauty of Cleopatra. Similarly, a great hero in India named Baji Rao became a victim of a woman during the time of Maharashtrian politics, and he was defeated. So from history we can understand that formerly politicians used to employ beautiful girls who were trained as Vishakanya. These girls had poison injected into their bodies from the very beginning of their lives, so that in due course of time they would become so immune to the poison and so poisonous themselves that simply by kissing a person they could kill him. These poisonous girls were engaged to see an enemy and kill him with a kiss. Thus, there are many instances in human history of heroes who have been curbed simply by women. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the living entity is certainly a great hero. But due to his or her own weakness, one becomes attracted to the material features. Krishna bahir mukha hoy bhoga vancha kare nikastastha maya tare japatiya dhare. In the Prema Vivarta it is said that when a living entity wants to enjoy material nature, he or she is immediately victimized by the material energy. A living entity is not forced to come into the material world. One makes his or her own choice, being attracted by beautiful women. Every living entity has the freedom to be attracted by the material nature or to stand as a hero and resist that attraction. It is simply a question of the living entities being attracted or not attracted. There is no question of one's being forced to come into contact with material energy. Finally, one who can keep him or herself steady and resist the attraction of the material nature is certainly a hero and deserves to be called Goswami. Unless one is master of the senses, one cannot become Goswami. The living entity can take one of two positions in this world. One may become a servant of one's senses, or one may become master of the senses. By becoming a servant of the senses, one becomes a great material hero. And by becoming master of the senses, one becomes Goswami, or spiritual hero.
Recorded November 13, 2023, Govardhan Puja Day, by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Om Tat Sat.